Hey you, wherever you are in the world right now, thank you so much for being here with me. We know that we're living in some crazy times and we know the world is volatile. So let's create a bridge as we travel through one another's countries, removing all the labels, coming together as one people, finding our home in one world. And as we do this, this is why our signature talk today, Nutrition Vitality at Work, is so important. And today I am so excited to welcome my guest speaker, Claudia Baumer. Hi, Claudia.
Hi, Catherine. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. And I'm so excited to have you with me today. We have a very engaging and exciting conversation for our audience around nutrition. And I just know there's so many tools that you can offer our audience that they can implement immediately just to help them. But what I really want to do is I want to like go backwards into your story a little bit and help the audience understand how you got to this place that you're at today.
Well, first of all, thank you so much for having me. I'm super excited to finally join you. I just love your energy. You give off such an amazing, peaceful energy. So thank you so much, Kathy. And yes, I would love to share my story. You know, it's amazing when you look back and you see how everything, you know, does work together for good. It just, at the time, you never think you can get past that point. So I had studied nutrition with the idea of, you know, wanting to help people be well using food as, you know, medicine. That's just, to me, it only made sense to use it early on to, for people to stay well, as opposed to wait till a person's ill. Well, then I found out through working different, you know, roles and positions and jobs, you know, I did things from working outpatient HIV clinic, my first job out of grad school, to working in a large health insurance company in their wellness department, to trying to expand their health, you know, community network, to transitioning to doing different things from like long-term care, worksite wellness consulting. I did some work in acute care, which is hospital work, but the majority of my time was spent in long-term care, which is nursing home, rehab, that kind of thing. During that time, my father became ill. And what happened was I saw, you know, my father's health deteriorate, and which didn't make sense to me because I knew we had amazing genes. My mother cooked everything from scratch, homemade, you know, good, healthy food. And I couldn't understand how this would be so. So I was really trying to figure this all out at the time. Well, I just continued to see his health go downhill. And it was one medication after another, after one surgery, after another. Well, nothing got fixed. It actually made everything worse. During that time, I was still working long-term care. Well, my father passed away and I was devastated because, you know, to me, he was gone too early. And my father was an amazing, amazing human being who helped everyone that crossed his path. I mean, if somebody, you know, said, you know, they needed something, he was there. So he was just always, you know, dear to my heart. And so for him to pass that early at the age of 70, he wasn't even 72 yet. He was going to be 72. He passed away on Father's Day, 2012. So I couldn't believe that, you know, he was gone. I really struggled with it for a while, and I hit a hard depression because my father was gone. How, you know, this can't be so, you know, my dad's invincible. He's like Superman. So I really struggled with that. And I found that, you know, through that pain, something has to come out of this. That can't be, you know, he can't have gone like this in vain, because I saw him deteriorate. I saw him struggle. I saw him go downhill. And to see that vision of my once amazing Superman dad to be in a state of, you know, the complete opposite really left me struggling with trying to figure out, why is this happening? So I started to get on my path of, you know, wanting to create an organization, a business, a community where I can help people thrive with using nutrition and lifestyle interventions, because I knew the power of it. And I knew we have these tools. And why are they not being used? I mean, they're so non-invasive. They're so simple. They're so wonderful, so transformational, but they're not being used. And so I started on the journey of, you know, starting my own business practice while I was in long-term care. And I found that, you know, I truly don't have the tools I needed to help people transform, despite my 4 years of undergraduate studies in nutrition, you know, despite my master's degree in nutrition, despite my dietetic internship, to even be eligible to take an exam to be a registered dietitian. Despite all the schooling, I felt really I could not help people truly. I mean, you know all the science, but how do you apply it? How do you use it to help people transform their health and their life? So I started on that journey of really exploring what can I do instead of, you know, staying in that depression victim mode of, oh my gosh, I just lost my dad. I'm stuck in this, you know, situation where I'm working long-term care and now I'm seeing people, you know, deteriorate in front of me daily. And that's not really where I saw myself because I know the power of nutrition. So I started to, not only did I open that, you know, create this business, where I knew that I can be powerful in transforming people's lives, but I started to study in functional integrative nutrition where I can specialize and really gain the tools that I need to help people transform their health. So then I started to see, yes, this is why I went to school. It's this. I always had a passion to teach for nutrition. I just absolutely love it. And I love working with people, helping people. It's just naturally who I am. And so then I started to evolve. So that's kind of what led me to this step. Now, there was a certain point where then I was actually, you know, starting to work on my own health through that journey. And as I started to work on my own health, you know, it kind of just led to one thing to another. So that's kind of what transformed me. Now I am here as a result of helping others and then transforming my own health, if that makes sense.
So let me go back to your dad. I mean, as you said, he's a superman. He's, you know, he's like the pillar of the family, the way you describe him, and just so strong and just everything to your entire family. So I can only imagine, you know, the quest that you had for the answers and just feeling very deflated, like there was nothing you could do, you know. And I know growing up with my grandparents, we lived literally out of 3 vegetable gardens year round. And we had canned everything. We had, you know, put stuff in the freezer and we would use that year round. So when you talk about making everything from scratch, that was very much my diet growing up as well. And I agree with you. You know, it is a little disconcerting when things don't add up, you know, things don't make sense. And then you yourself go on this quest. And I mean, going through right now, there's a lot of people that are living in a state of depression because they have lost loved ones, you know, whether it's to COVID or another illness or something like that, or it's just the way of the world. So, you know, when you're in that depressed state right now, I mean, we see it all around us. People are using different vices. We see people drinking, we see alcohol, we see food. Food is one of the vices that we see people, you know, utilizing as a tool to escape what it is that they're feeling in this moment. And I don't know, was that something that you experienced in your state of depression using food, or was it like something else? Like how did that work for you?
So that's a really great question. So what I have found, not only my own personal life, but also working with other predominantly women is who I work with, is, you know, and the people that are usually drawn to me are other empaths and, you know, nurturers, caretakers, you know, people who are usually more of that type of personality, compassionate, caring. So yes, emotional eating is huge. And oftentimes you don't know you're doing it because it's one of those things where, you know, mindlessness is very common. Even that's something I continue to work on, is being present in the moment and mindful of my where I am now, as opposed to, you know, what happened to you, where you came from, what do you have to do, how are you going to do it, and then overwhelm sets in. And then, of course, once you get in that cycle of overwhelm, sadness, the low vibe, you know, feelings, emotions, they really pull you down and they make you feel so weighted. So I found that really all those heavy, heavy emotions start on that, you know, emotional cycle. And that's really what I found keeps you stuck, you know, and even in my own personal life, keeps you stuck in those low vibe behaviors because they don't help us move forward. We actually, it's so heavy that, you know, you're just surviving as opposed to thriving. And so I actually, because of all these things, I've created some group programs because I thought, what is it that's keeping people from moving past all this? Like, what is it that we're not doing that, you know, there's people who can just take off with something and I like support them, give them the tools, resources, and they're good to go and they have a health transformation. And then the majority of people that are like 80% of the people seem, you know, either they're stuck. And this is including me at times, you know, we all go through these phases in life. Either you get stuck in a phase, you can't pull yourself out of it. That's where the emotions become really heavy, I find. And then you can, it's really easy to get stuck in that emotional, whether like it becomes an addiction of some sort, it could be look like shopping, food, like you said, is common. It's food is readily available, you know, in terms of we eat and we don't even realize we're doing it because it's available, it's legal, it's easy. And you think of it as I'm hungry, but you know, oftentimes I find that the feeling of anxiety in the stomach can make it feel like you're hungry, where, you know, unless we're becoming mindful as to what's really, am I hungry? Am I thirsty? What do I need? So I found like do a self-check-in that helps, you know, kind of bring it back to mindfulness, do a self-check-in. Am I really hungry? Well, if I'm not hungry, then why am I eating this box of chocolates? Because it's comforting. Okay. So what, then what else is going on? And kind of really like nurture yourself. Like what would you say to a child or a friend, but more of comfort yourself as opposed to, and I think this is the biggest lesson too that I've learned is as opposed to looking to your surroundings to comfort you or people or things, which I think can easily become, you know, an unhealthy addiction because we're looking to the outside. So that's where I found going back to meditation and prayer and mindfulness and gratitude and deep breathing really, really are the core of getting us grounded again, because then it takes us back to the present. You know, they say when you focus on your breathing, you focus on the present. How can you focus on anything else? And it really grounds you back. And then you're able to start kind of regrouping. So I found a lot of the emotional part of it is really, you know, exploring our own well-being internally, spiritually, mentally, emotionally, because if we don't do that, we get stuck there. And I found, forget the nutritional aspect, forget anything else that, you know, is helpful. We're just stuck. So that's really what I found personally. And then from working with people.
Yeah. And would you recommend that people maybe put a note on their refrigerator or, you know, just something to kind of disengage their thought process when they're going into this automatic pilot mode where they're just automatically resorting to going to the cupboard or going to the refrigerator to get something to eat?
Yes. And that's a really good question is, you know, I think different things work for different people. So I personally haven't done that or recommended that, but I think it's a good idea if it's something somebody's trying to get out of a, you know, a stuck rut routine, because yes, we do go on autopilot, but then I find when we're on autopilot, that's when mindlessness sets in. We're not being mindful. So how do you get out of that rut? I found ask myself questions. Make yourself think, because if I'm relying on my external cues and surroundings, then we're becoming codependent and a victim. So if that's what we're used to being is, you know, codependent and a victim. And I think being an empath, it's easy to fall into that just from historically wanting to take care of everybody else. And kind of maybe have that dynamic going on that, you know, we're in that. Is to ask yourself questions, you know, what do I need? Am I tired? Because if we're not getting enough sleep, we're going to emotionally eat naturally. You know, even studies found that people are overweight when they work third shift. You know, they gain weight. You know, there's that circadian rhythm that gets thrown off cycle because it's a natural cycle. People eat more, you know, foods higher in sugar and fat, caffeine, things that are less nutritious because now, you know, you're trying to just kind of like keep that alertness. So what do? You reach for things that are quick fix. You know, take note if you are tired, what are you eating that day? I know what if I'm tired, you're not going to take time to cook a meal or even think about what to put together that might be more balanced. It's usually just grab something, and it might be, you know, the cookies and the donuts and the cupcakes and the cakes and the ice cream, the potato chips. Things are really comfort foods, you know?
Yeah. And if you don't have them in the house, you can't grab them. So I think, you know, part of the conversation with yourself is really reinventing what your kitchen looks like and making a conscious decision on what it is that you're putting into the kitchen, so that when you're grabbing something, it is tailored to creating the energy, like grab an orange or, you know, grab some almonds or, you know, nuts or something that's going to help you get that increase that you're looking for, you know, to help you. But let's also talk about this, you know, and it's unfortunate because people are living literally in, you know, these bodies, these vessels, and they're traveling in these vessels. And most people have such inflammation in their bodies that they don't even know that they have. And what they also don't know is that a lot of times that creates disease. So can you talk to our audience a little bit about that?
Yes. Thank you. My favorite topic. I love it. Thank you. So I have always been fascinated by the immune system. It's funny how I didn't plan my first job out of grad school to be an HIV and dietitian in an HIV clinic. So that to me is very fascinating how things kind of just, you know, tie in together. The immune system is an amazing, amazing system. You know, there's so many aspects to it, and nutrition really is huge. When we realize that, you know, inflammation is the core of a lot of diseases, it takes on a whole new meaning to me. So let me go back to when I started my really digging into this. It was about over three years ago. I became certified in this process that I learned about 20 years ago, but I just wasn't ready to really take it on. You know, it was too much for me at the time. So I became certified in this process. And what it is, it's using the gold standard of food sensitivity testing. Now, there's a lot out there, and they're not very highly validated and sensitive tests. So this is the gold standard. It's been around for many, many years. It's just that this happens to have a specific patent name, and with an actual protocol that goes with it. So I was using this with my clients and patients that I work with, and those who stuck to it, it's for a diet specific to what's triggering their body for inflammation. And then we implement this protocol based on their test results of what's triggering their inflammation. Because what happens is white blood cells are being triggered. The body sees it as a threat. So the white blood cells' role is to mount a defense to defend their body. So now we have the white blood cells firing bullets. These blood cells are firing all these bullets. Depending on where they're being fired and where you see them, the issues arise, depends on your genetic makeup. So people could see these issues arise from things like high cholesterol to high sugar, blood sugar, weight gain, swelling, gut issues. I've seen it even in a new diagnosis of like macular degeneration come up where, you know, doctors don't even know it's related to inflammation, but they'll say it's inflammation, but there's no connection in their mind that there's diet, it's diet related. Of course, autoimmune conditions are on the rise. You know, why do we see those? There's tons of autoimmune conditions from arthritis, which is rampant, you know, pain, fibromyalgia, celiac disease. There's many, many autoimmune from Hashimoto thyroiditis to MS. I mean, the list goes on and on, unfortunately. So those are affected by inflammation and usually triggered by stress and inflammation. There's also migraines, which is inflammatory. So there's a lot of conditions that people deal with on a day-to-day don't even know. I mean, even if we just fatigue. Fatigue is huge. That's my biggest thing that I experience, as well as the people I work with. Fatigue, weight gain, you just don't feel good. You feel blah. You might have gastrointestinal symptoms. You don't feel good after you eat. A lot of people present with reflux. And, you know, I tell people that it's an indicator something else in the gut is going on. You know, it's not normal to have reflux after you eat. Those kinds of things. So when I actually decided to go through the process myself, in 2018, I couldn't believe my own health transformation, because that's really when mine started. My own health journey is when I decided to do that myself and experience it, because it's one thing to know it and to walk people through it, but to go through it yourself is a whole different level.
So how can people reduce inflammation?
So if you really, if we're not testing, we're guessing. That's as simple as it is. So testing is the real sure way to know. If you're not there yet for whatever reason, or you're in a place where you can't get to one, then the best thing to start to do is really cut out as much of processed foods as possible. So what does that mean? Stick to, like we, you mentioned, whole foods from, you know, the ground up. What does that mean? Anything that's less processed, no preservatives, no additives, no colors. If you can do, you know, things that are not added, antibiotics, no added hormones, you know, those kinds of things are better. So meaning the less things that are added to the food supply, the better. So it's cleaner. That's the best thing. So when you think about it, our body's being inundated constantly with different, you know, chemicals. So, when it's being inundated, it is overwhelming the immune system. So now you're adding all these things from the diet. It does not even recognize, first of all, because it's not nutritionally needed. Second of all, you know, that's just the diet. Now you add in the water supply, the environment, the air, the pollution, the stress, lack of sleep, medications, nutritional deficiencies. Whoa, the body is an overload. Now what happens is autoimmune conditions set in. What else happens? Disease sets in. The body's been trying to get the attention, your attention, for so long. But because what happens is I find we become so accustomed to dealing with all these symptoms. Oh, it's just a little bit of aches here. Oh, I might just have a little bloating here. Oh, I just can't sleep at night because I have to pee 3 times a night. Oh, you know, so it just becomes one thing after another. But before you know it, you know, a person wakes up one morning and goes, oh my gosh, I feel like awful. I feel like crap. And I don't know what happened to me because this is not the person I thought I would be at this age or I pictured myself being. And I really don't have energy to do anything. So it's all these things that happen over time that get to that point.
I see so many people that are in this place. And I'm glad that you brought up the environment. And the environment is so, so important too, because the people, well, people in general are surrounding themselves in a lot of toxicity, a lot of toxicity. So, you know, it's chemicals. It's, I mean, I talked about this on other, you know, shows as well. It's chemicals. It's, you know, being around the cell phone towers and the EMFs, and there's just so many things. But the chemicals in our food, you know, that you're talking about, I mean, that is huge, huge, huge. And I really hope that, you know, the audience listening to the show is really starting to put a picture together as far as how the impact of this really does affect the body and, you know, how to start to reverse course with it. As you listen, wherever you are in the world, you know, to Claudia's message, I hope that you're understanding that, you know, organic is really the best. For my personal journey, as I stated, I grew up in a very organic diet. And when that diet started to switch, so did the alteration in my chemistry. And then, you know, my neuropaths and all of that started to switch as well, and literally developed an onset adult allergy for me. And that's something that I think is also important to talk about, is how these chemicals are changing the chemistry of our bodies.
Yeah, so that's the thing. I mean, people, you know, in general, we become so accepting of this is the way things are. And because, again, it goes back to the mindlessness that we just accept everything that's, you know, around us, in front of us. It really, I found, goes back to the mindfulness. You know, ask yourself, what am I being exposed to? What am I taking in? What's in my medication? What other ingredients are my supplements? You know, I had someone that I was working with that, you know, he was working through the protocol with me, had an autoimmune condition. He didn't realize that he was taking a vitamin D supplement because, you know, he got it from a local pharmacy. You know, and they often say doctor recommended, pharmacist recommended. And that really makes me cringe because, you know, this is all in line with marketing. And, you know, I feel like it's very misleading to people. So, you know, it contained a reactive food ingredient for him, which was corn. And here, every time he took it, it triggered his inflammation. So, you know, just things like that I look at when I work with people where, you know, that's what I do as I look at the whole big picture. And because of my training on functional integrative nutrition, yes, we look at the big picture and we look at the timelines. So, you know, it could be very overwhelming at first because, like we discussed, you know, if you look at all the factors, oh my gosh, it's a lot. And even my, you know, I continue to work on things as I go. It's not like, you know, you ever, I think, arrive. It's an evolution, a process, you know, and life happens. So I think it's an acceptance of knowing, okay, where am I in life? And is this even realistic? And that's what we were talking about. I was doing a group session earlier today with my my clients in terms of our group nutrition program. And the big thing that I have learned is acceptance of where we are. Because I think, you know, it's easy to get down and say, I'm not where I thought I would be. I'm not where I was. I wanted to be, you know, I'm this place. And then you kind of get down again, that heavy feelings, low vibe, you know, stuck in the emotional. So instead, you know, to try to raise your own vibration, okay, what is one thing I can do now to feel better? Okay, so maybe it's not realistic to be, you know, here, but I'm aware and I'm being mindful of what I can do now. So I think those are some tools I found work for me to kind of help me get unstuck.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm not sure if I answered your question, Kathy. So
it's okay. So I think, you know, I think too, maybe just keeping a food diary would be helpful for a lot of people, you know, just to kind of track what it is that they're putting into their body and then track how it is that they're feeling, to your point, because if you're putting something into your body and you're not feeling well, you know, there might be a correlation there, as you suggested. So that may be something people could do as well. I have a little trick that I'm going to offer up that I like to use. I actually have on my cell phone, I have these alerts or these reminders that every 4 hours, it reminds me to make sure I'm drinking my water, make sure I'm doing my breathing exercise, you know, and that there's times, to your point, when we're just going in automatic pilot and we're just going through our day and we just forget. So if you have something like that that can just remind you and bring you to present, it will start to create that habit forming, you know, reaction where it's like, okay. And sometimes just drinking that water, what it does is it curbs my appetite where I'm not going to the kitchen because really I just was thirsty and I needed to replenish, you know, the liquid and fluid in my cells to help me feel better. So, you know, that's something that I think is a nice little fun tidbit to offer up to the audience.
Definitely. Yeah. I love that. Yeah. That's great. And there's so many apps. So you're so right about that. You know, whatever works for you, you know, if it's an app, a reminder on your cell phone, a post-it note, you know, I like things in front of me. So the downside to that is if I have too many notes and I forget where to look. So definitely find what works for you. I love that.
Yeah. Now, can you talk a little bit about the link between people that have been through trauma and have gone through a lot of difficulty in their life and some of these conditions? Do you see a correlation with that?
I do, actually. And that's, I know we were talking about that before, and I find it fascinating because I have seen it over and over again, just by working with people and observing, you know, people with what the conditions they have. And it does seem that, you know, people primarily, and it doesn't have to be women, but primarily women, I wouldn't say all women only, but, you know, empaths and those types of personalities, highly sensitive individuals, because we seem to almost hold things in, I almost feel like, you know, that becomes the trigger to these conditions. And the reason I've seen that is because the women that primarily come to me to work with me also have these things in common is, you know, there's a lot of the underlying emotional issues, underlying things that have not been worked through, whether it's some kind of, you know, undisclosed trauma, or, you know, they've gone through some kind of post-traumatic event, or, you know, just other emotional underlying issues where maybe they like lack of self-worth or lack of feeling, you know, for whatever reason, you know, worthy. So there might be other things going on. But yeah, I find like the whole empath type personality in terms of leading to a lot of these health conditions. I've seen a lot of autoimmune pain to be very high, depression, anxiety, even ADD, all these other things, which again, inflammation makes worse. stress makes worse. Stress and inflammation cause flare-ups. So that's where all these other things that we previously discussed are helpful in terms of getting the person, you know, minimizing all those negative effects on the body so a person can start to build themselves up again through nutrition and lifestyle interventions, like moving their body. And, you know, I found that there's something therapeutic about movement, right? We get the endorphins flowing, and that it's a natural happy hormone, you know, connecting with people, a hug 30 seconds. What did I tell you? Hug 30 seconds gets the oxytocin going, right? The oxytocin is the happy hormone that the mother gives off when she's breastfeeding a baby, when there's connection of intimacy with a mate or a partner. So all those are part of a healthy lifestyle. So when we talk about being healthy, you know, we need to be well-rounded, because it's not just one thing. You know, we need to look at the big picture. So I found that all those health conditions, those autoimmune type pain, depression, anxiety, really seem to be rampant in holding in that you know, underlying emotional triggers. So what can we do about it? Well, you know, it's interesting, because I found having an outlet, like some people like to journal. I personally don't like to write, you know, I really don't. And so I have journaled, and it has been helpful per your recommendation, but, you know, I don't enjoy it. Excuse me. So the next question is, what do you enjoy? Well, I love to dance. Oh, great. Turn on the music. Dance. Oh, I love it. It makes me feel so good. I put it on, my little one and I, we have a blast. And we just dance. And it's so much fun. And that's so simple. You know, you could sing a song and just move to it. So it doesn't have to be like elaborate. It could be so simple. What makes you feel better now? That's a healthy outlet. Some people are artistic and they love to draw. I know you're very talented and artistic, Kathy. So whatever, you know, works for you is great. And that's awesome. You know, do that activity, that, you know, arts, that crafts. Some people, like when I'm relaxed, my food, I can cook and bake and it comes out amazing. But, you know, if I'm stressed doing it, forget it. It's sabotage. It's ruined. My heart, my mind, my soul's not in it. So again, you know, I find what works for you. And it's okay if it's not something else that works for someone doesn't work for you. Find what works for you, you know, but we have to have a healthy outlet. And I think for so long, you know, my mindset was, if you're not being productive and working, then you're wasting time. But now, from my years of experience, I don't see it that way anymore. Now I realize that's not true and that's not correct. And that's a, what do you call it? A belief, like a limiting belief. So that, you know, you have to have that balance of creativity and outlet, a transfer of energy, that movement, that exercise, you know, transfers the energy and releases it while increasing healthy hormones in the body to make you feel good. So that is healing within itself. Yeah. So exercise has historically been, for me, a very therapeutic thing.
Yeah. And I think, you know, right now, the way that things are for people, it is hard, because for a lot of people, it's just easier just to be still and go, you know, introvert into themselves and not really like get it out. And that's part of what you're saying too, is, you know, when you're stressed, like it's so, so important to detox the body. And that's not just drinking a lot of water. It's literally moving the body. It's getting that stuff out of your head. That's why you journal. It's doing meditation, yoga, exercise, whatever you can do. And literally whatever you can do, as simple as turning on the music and dancing. So if you're literally in a situation where, you know, as we're talking today, there's somebody around the globe that is in lockdown again, literally you could turn on music and you could dance right in your space, and, you know, you could still create that same result that you're looking for. So I love that suggestion, Claudia. I think that's great.
Thank you. Yeah. And that's a good point. You know, during these times of lockdown where, you know, we're all out of our element routine, and you think, okay, well, you know, you still have to move on. What can you do now? What can you do? Getting dressed, making yourself feel good, you know, put on some lip balm, lip gloss, lipstick, you know, do your hair, get dressed, feel good. You know, that just kind of completely transforms your tone. And then, what can you do now to feel better, to continue to evolve to your best version? So the other thing I found is comparing ourselves to what we thought we should be, where we think what we think we should do, to some other people. That really keeps us heavy, feeling heavy and down. So no, how can we be the next best version of ourselves? And really that helps, I know me, get out of this comparison mode where you think, you're comparing yourself to other people. So always think, how can I move toward being the next best version of myself? And it might look differently every day. You know, like one day it might just be, are you drinking enough? The next day, you don't want to eat. Okay, that's okay. If you're not hungry, don't eat. Don't force yourself. You want to stay hydrated and, not pass out. So again, it's checking in with yourself. What do you need? Are you okay? So my biggest thing is realizing it's the self-nurturing that has to happen. Especially as empaths, we're so used to nurturing everybody else. How can we nurture ourselves? What do I need? And that's not being selfish. And it's not, taking time for play and healthy habits and, to move and do things that just, build us up. It doesn't mean you're not being productive. Actually, without that, you can't be productive. And I think that's my biggest lesson, is to realize that in order to be productive and at my best, I need to have that balance of, fun, playful time. What's creative for me? So creative for me might be in the kitchen, where somebody else might draw an amazing painting, where I can draw stick figures and that's not fun for me. So again, what works for you? I love to turn on the music and move my body. It feels so good to move. And you know what? I bought these cards from the dollar store for my daughter. And it was, I think, $1 for the pack of yoga poses. Every once in a while, I said to her, do you want to do a yoga pose? She'll say, yeah. We'll pull out a card. I said, pick a card out. And that's the yoga pose we do. That's simple. And oh, the stretch feels so, so good. And literally, I think we do it for like 12 seconds. So again, if you're not there yet, it doesn't have to be dramatic. I know right now things are not the typical way you'd expect it to look like. And that's okay. So I think that goes back to, what can you do right now?
Yeah. And I know this is like, it's connected, but it's not connected, but I'm just going to throw it out at you, because I find a lot of people in my walk, when they are going through this transformation process, they are shedding layers. They're shedding layers of themselves. They're discovering new things about themselves. But then they're also like, because their body's changing, their wardrobe is changing. And then it's like, oh my gosh, do I keep my old wardrobe or do I get rid of it? And I know so many people who are so afraid to get rid of this old wardrobe because they're afraid to, detach from it. What do you tell them?
Oh, that's interesting. I went through that last year. So when I started my health transformation, I'm kind of regressing back to the point. So in terms of the inflammation, I was having pain, brain fog. I could not sleep at night from the pain was so bad. Bloated, felt frumpy, just low energy, just didn't feel good. Bowel changes, just a lot of different things. I felt awful. My skin didn't look good. My energy was low. My mood was all over the place, irritable. And I went through the health transformation and I started my journey where I did the anti-inflammatory diet based on the food triggers in my body and then followed the protocol. I dropped inches weight, went from 12 curvy to 6 skinny jean, stomach flattened, energy through the roof, which is very common, through the roof, so excited, skin cleared up like never before, never looked that good. So many amazing things, pain disappeared, non-existent, sleeping through the night. So all these things that I thought were part of aging, which is very common to think that I'm getting old and stressed and this is normal, is not normal. It is not okay. There are signs and symptoms from the body telling you something is going on. You need to help your body. So then going forward, to answer your question, I found myself when I dropped all this weight, wow, I didn't know I can feel this good and look this good for, where I was compared to where I had been. So now I started thinking, wow, these clothes don't look good. They don't feel good. Well, if they don't feel good, I go back to the teachings of others great authors, speakers, and teachers who say, you know, raise your vibration. You want to feel good, you know, in a healthy way, not things that are, you know, detrimental to your health, you know, like drugs and alcohol, things like that, or any other addiction. But, you know, how can I feel good? Well, these clothes no longer felt good. They no longer resonated with who I was becoming. So, you know what? I parted ways with them. I donated everything. It was all in great shape. Some of them were brand new. I literally wore them a few times. That's how good shape they were. They were brand new. I bought them that year because I had gone already down from a 14 to a 12 because after I had my daughter, I was in a 14 and then dropped to 12.
So they served the purpose at the time, and then it was okay to let them go because, to your point, they didn't feel good, they didn't look good, and it was okay to release them. I love that.
Yes, and actually, I started to evolve, you know, because that was the beginning of my evolution. I found my health journey is of my style started to change. And I thought, wow, this is kind of fun. I never thought I'd get back into this. You know, you kind of feel like a new, younger version of yourself, but a super improved version because now you're wiser, which, you know, when you're younger, you're kind of all over the place. You don't really know what's going on, what you want, what you're doing. And so when I started to find my voice and be comfortable in my skin as a female, and really just comfortable in who I was becoming, it was a great, great experience because now not only am I healthier, but I'm more comfortable in my skin and hence what I wear. So what I do wear, I feel like it fits the new version of me.
I love that. I love that.
Yeah, it's a great feeling. It really is.
And I love that you're giving back too, because, you know, it's not like you just took this stuff that you're no longer using and just threw it away. You actually repurposed it. You know, you were able to give it to people that actually will be able to use it. And I think that's a wonderful thing.
Yes, I love it. And I donate everything actually, because I have a problem with filling up landfills, you know, and I leave everything brand new when I donate it, which I know some people might think is a waste, but you know, other people can use it better than me. If it's no longer fitting my purpose, why would I hold on to it? Because now that you're getting into that energy of like, you know, that fear mode of if I'm holding on to something, then I'm afraid to let it go. I'm in fear mode, right? And what does that bring? It's usually low energy, low vibes. And they say you can't bring in the new and manifest what you're, where you're going if you're holding on to the old. So yeah. It's having that faith of knowing I'm on my way. Let me, you know, release it and open up to what is the new that's coming my way.
I love that. And I just think, you know, that right there, what you just said, so many people need to hear that right now. Like, let go of the fear. Release it, you know, let new things manifest. And this conversation's been incredible, Claudia. I know we could like talk for hours and hours. We do talk for hours.
Yes, I love talking to you. Thank you so much.
But I am so glad that you've been able to, you know, talk to the audience. And I always ask my guest speakers, if I were to find your earth angel feather on the ground and I picked it up, what would your message to the world be?
Keep going. Never, never give up. You are, oh, I have goosebumps, chills down my legs. You are highly valued. You are worthy to take care of yourself and somebody needs you out there. Keep going. Never give up. You are not alone. Oh my gosh, I have goosebumps. Woo! Chills on my legs. Do not give up. Keep going. And keep going might look like stand up. That's keep going. Stand up. Keep going. Do not give up. Ever, ever. You're not alone. You know, ask for guidance. You will get it.
Absolutely. And I know somewhere in the world right now is wrapping their arms around you because they needed that message right now.
So. Hugs and love to all of you. Thank you so much, Kathy, for letting me have my voice and send my message out to the world. Thank you, my dear.
Oh, you're so welcome. And it's been, you know, so much fun. And there's just so much that we can take away with this, you know, message that you have. So just filled with gratitude and have a lot of appreciation. So again, thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you so much.
And that's all we have time for today. This is Catherine Daniels reminding you to live your authentic life with peace. And as always, retreat to peace. And we'll see you next time. And welcome back. And didn't you enjoy Claudia's energy, her level of just bubbly burst of sunshine. She's just an amazing person, an amazing light. And I just really enjoyed having an interview with her, talking about so many different things in her interview that I think all of us can relate to. I mean, we look at our bodies and, you know, we have to so appreciate what they're able to do for us and how they function. And one of the things that I thought I would talk about as I concluded my interview with her was just this idea of stress and how we're hanging on to stress. So one of the things that you may have heard me say before, maybe not, maybe this is the first time, that we do hold on to stress on a cellular level. Our body retains information on a cellular level, and when we hear or we go through something that is pretty traumatic or maybe a sense of disturbance with, you know, the trauma or the information, whatever it may be that we're experiencing, we actually hold on to this information. And a lot of people in the United States, for example, they will be able to tell you, if they're old enough, where they were when 9/11 happened. They'll be able to tell you where they were, who they were with, exactly where they heard the news, exactly when, you know, when they were in this particular moment, exactly all the details around it. So I share all of this with you because as we have been going through 2020 and we are experiencing this kind of psychological trauma, this grief, this change that people are going through, and it's not necessarily viewed as a good change from some people, but from other people, they would say, well, you know, it's okay. Like, I'm going through the changes as required and I'm okay. But irregardless of where your mindset is around the changes that we've been experiencing as a globe, all of us have had to go through some kind of change. We've all had to adapt into a new space and time that we didn't know a year and a half ago. So it's a very, very new thing. When we go through these changes, it's really, really important that we're taking care of our stress load. So the stress of the trauma of change can be a lot. And a lot of times, you know, just basic things that wouldn't normally bother us, we might be more bothered by. So we have to recognize, are we feeling overburdened with stress? And are we carrying a stress backpack? So if you think you're picking up a stress backpack, maybe put it down. Maybe find ways to release the stress without taking it on. I know personally, when I was going through some pretty major changes in my life, one of them was going through a divorce, I had to find ways, healthy ways, that I could release the stress of dealing with the attorney, dealing with the changes and adjustments, and that's a very traumatic thing. So, you know, just dealing with all of this, I had to find ways to navigate and move differently in a sense that it wasn't going to be a hardship to the people that I love, the people around me. And one of the things that I did was to recognize that I needed to compartmentalize this stress into a place that I could release it. And what I started to do was take up running and just started to run out my stress. I know a lot of people, they will use exercise as a really great way to detox the body of the stress that they're feeling. But not everybody can actually run. So what can you do instead of running? You can go for a walk. You can get out and be in fresh air. You can detox the body by bathing in Epsom salts and journaling. Look at healthy outlets that are really going to give you the manifestation of something healthy as a benefit, you know, going through that experience that you're going through, so that it's not turning into a disease or chronic illness within your body. It's really, really important that you find ways to release it. For myself as well, I think it was really important for me as well just to get a higher connection to my higher power with God, and really get to a space where I had to recognize that maybe part of what I was going through was for me to also change my relationship with my higher power. Because if I started to put more energy into my higher power and being in a place of, you know, meditation or peace, it did bring a new calm to the space that I was living in, instead of this upheaval and disjointed feeling that I was going through. So a lot of times when we go into a prayer space and we released whatever it is that we are feeling stressed about, it does release us in so many ways from feeling what it is that we're feeling with the kind of intensity that we were feeling it. And I know for some people, this may be a new experience and may have to step into it with kind of like a blind faith. But when you start to make practice of it, it does change the way that you see the world, and it also changes the way you experience the world. So it is a full experience and something that is very, very peaceful, and it gives you a lot more serenity of hope and just a sense of love for yourself that maybe you didn't have before, because maybe you weren't spending that kind of quiet time with yourself that you are now doing at this point in time. So I also, you know, want to talk about this idea of stress, letting it go, but also being very aware of how it is you are living in the space that you're living. And one of the things that is abundantly important is that when we're living in stress and we may be angry, and a lot of times whatever it is that we're angry about is really living in a fear space. So if we can remove this anger out of our fear space and remove it out so that we're not holding on to it in our bodies, that's going to be so incredibly helpful for us so that we can manifest our healthiest self, be our best self, without retaining on a cellular level this negative energy. Have you ever done anything in your entire life where you just had blind faith? Have you ever done anything where you weren't really sure what your next step was, or you didn't have it laid out with a plan, or you didn't really know what was going to happen because you're navigating in the dark and it's a very unfamiliar space and you're just really uncertain as to where it is that you're going? Sometimes we don't have everything figured out. And when we're stressed or we're experiencing things, it's okay not to have all the answers. And when we live in this blind faith, a lot of people think that they can't do it because they don't know what the answer is going to be or how it's going to work out. But let me just remind you, when we are living in a space of having blind faith, we actually are living in blind faith all the time, but people don't recognize that, because what they're not seeing is that we live in blind faith every single time we sit on a chair. The chair legs don't collapse under us. We live in blind faith every time we go down, you know, the road in our vehicles. We don't expect every single car that is coming towards us to crash into us. We live in this blind faith. We do this over and over and over every single day. How many times? I mean, probably hundreds of times every single day we live in this blind faith. We don't always have everything figured out, and we are working through things as we go along our journey. So really be cognizant of the fact that it's okay to be in blind faith. It's okay to put stress down and compartmentalize it and put it into a place where you tackle it when you can tackle it, but it's not something that has to consume you. And honestly, make it a very conscientious choice to live your best life. make it the life that you want, that is going to be fuller and richer and everything that you fully want to experience in life, but also do it in such a way that you're fulfilling your authentic self, so that you're living your authentic journey by loving yourself, refusing to have anything that is of negative energy, any kind of discouragement or evil or whatever it may be that comes towards you. Refuse that. Let that go. Be in a place of time that you're in your authenticity. We only have a certain amount of time here on earth. And honestly, we don't have a lot of time to waste because we don't know how much time we have. Every single day, we have our day, but we don't know exactly how much time we have. If we live and we operate in faith every single day, we are experiencing a greater sense of hope and joy and peace. We are able to live in a space of peace that is unshakable because we know that we are going to be okay and we are going to be protected and everything is going to work out for its higher good. A lot of times when things happen to us, we think that they're bad things and they're happening to us. But the reality is they're happening for us. Not to us, but for us. Because we are to learn something from that. And what a greater gift that you could give the world than to turn that into something that is going to have a lasting impact. I mean, isn't that what everybody wants to do? They want to have a lasting impact. They want to do something that's going to leave a mark on the world and hopefully for the best in such a way that it's going to have this rippling effect of goodness going through the world. Choose what it is that you put your time and energy into. And just be in your authentic space and be of the highest light. This is Catherine Daniels with Retreat to Peace. I'm so appreciative of your time, and I look forward to talking with my guest speaker next week, which is Bridget Eisel, and she's from England. And she's going to come to us with her story about why she thinks that we are all perfect. By design, we absolutely are. So I'm super excited to have her as my guest. I welcome you to join me next week. And as always, live your authentic life in peace. Again, this is Catherine Daniels with Retreat to Peace. Have a beautiful week. And as always, live your authentic life in peace. I'll see you next time.